But today we're ending the last part of our catechism series that we call New City Catechism. If you're new, we introduced a resource to our church four weeks ago or so called the New City Catechism. And catechism is simply a word that means a series of questions and answers in order to teach you something. So the New City Catechism is a resource. They have a couple books as well as an app where it's talking about really 52 questions and answers to help us grow in our faith. And the idea really is this, is that everyone believes in something, but do we clearly know what we believe and why? That it's important not just to know that you believe, it's important that we know what we believe and why. And the New City Catechism is just one resource and one way we're inviting and challenging you as a church to join us in 2019 to spend some dedicated time each week looking at what we believe and why. So we're asking you to take one question, one answer each and every week, starting the first week in January, spending some time talking through that as a couple, on your own, studying that as a family, maybe a life group, and really walking through these 52 questions over the course of a year, spending some intentional time deepening our understanding of what we believe and why. And so you can find out more information about that if you're new. There's an insert in your worship guide, a little bookmark, has the resource where you can go and download the app, and all this stuff is there. It's completely free. Also, if you want a hard copy of the New City Catechism, our Legacy Resource Center is out these doors. Head that way. We have some copies there available as well, so make sure and grab one of those. But in our series, what we've been talking about is looking at four of those questions, four foundational questions. And the question for today that we're going to look at is this. What hope does everlasting life hold for us? What hope does everlasting life hold for us? John 3:16, the most famous verse, and I talk about it a lot because it summarizes the entire redemptive story of God. And it points us to salvation in Jesus, the most important thing we could ever grasp. It talks about this idea of everlasting life and eternal life. It says this, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That there's this promise of eternal life that we find in this verse, in this core verse in scripture. And it's one that the Bible talks about. And Jesus himself says, eternal life is something that I want you to experience. And I want you to grab hold of through faith in me. Now, today we'll use the word eternal life, everlasting life, and we'll kind of just interchange those two words, but they mean the same thing. It's life without end, both here on this earth and in heaven one day. You know, as I was preparing for this message and really thinking, it was actually last Sunday, I was worshiping, you know, down front during the first service, and man, God just started bringing to mind story after story and person after person, and even some more this week of people who are going through some difficult times. You know, it's interesting that a season like Christmas, one that is filled with so much joy, so much happiness, everybody seems to be a little bit nicer, everybody seems to be a little bit more festive, everybody seems to be a little bit, you know, just kind of happier, and there's all these traditions and all these things, and we sing all these songs about the incredible hope and glory and joy of this season. But it's interesting how life doesn't stop just because it's Christmas time. That in the midst of this joyous celebration of a season called Christmas, so many people, and maybe you're here today and this is where you are, so many people are going through some difficult things. You know, there's illnesses that have been diagnosed, and there's sicknesses people are fighting through. People have lost loved ones unexpectedly. People are wrestling with finances, or they're wrestling with a relationship that's not going great, or their job is in jeopardy, or maybe they lost their job. And in this season of joy, we're oftentimes reminded that life is difficult and life can be hard. And it's this tension I want to live in and kind of rest in today of the joy and the hope of Christ, but also the reality that we live in a broken world that's difficult. And then at times we find ourselves going through incredibly hard things. And so when we look at the question of what hope does everlasting life have for us? What hope does eternal life hold for us? We want to look at it in the context of not just hope one day, but what hope can that bring to my life today? Because we're all looking for hope. We're all looking for that thing and that hope and that joy and that peace that can get us through whatever we're going through, whenever we go through it in life. And today, this question is so, so important, because the hope of God is not just a hope for one day, but the hope of God is the hope for today. And so let's look at this. What hope does eternal life hold for us? If you want to take out your message notes, you'll see the question and the answer there. I want to read the answer to us, and I'm going to ask you, we'll read it all together. But what hope does eternal life hold for us? New City Catechism answers that question this way. It says, it reminds us that this present fallen world is not all there is. Soon we will live with and enjoy God forever in the new city, in the new heaven and the new earth, where we will be fully freed, fully and forever freed from all sin, and will inhabit renewed, resurrected bodies in a renewed, restored creation. Right? Man, there's hope in that answer. Let's actually read that together. The question of what hope does everlasting life hold for us? Let's read the answer together. It'll be on the screen as well if you don't have a copy of the message notes. Let's read this. It reminds us that this present fallen world is not all there is. Soon we will live with and enjoy God forever in the new city, in the new heaven and new earth, where we will be fully and forever freed from all sin and will inhabit renewed, resurrected bodies in a renewed, restored creation. That is hope. There is hope for us in everlasting life. In the promise of Jesus that said, for all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal, everlasting life, there is great, great hope in that. But like we're saying, it's not just hope about one day. It's hope that can change us today. And so here's what I want to do is I want to walk through four things that I believe hope of eternity can bring to us today. Four ways that we can, because of what God has promised to us through Jesus, four ways that we can live today, four things we can hold on to today to get us through the difficulties that we face. The first of that is this, is that we're going to look at the promise. We're going to look at the promise, that the hope of eternal life gives us a promise. And we see that pictured in Revelation chapter 21. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn there real quick. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one under your chair. You can grab that. You can use that. You can take that with you if you need one. That's our gift to you today. So Revelation 21, John is given a vision of what's to come. A vision of what is to come and what this promise of everlasting eternal life looks like and how Jesus is going to restore and make new all things. And in Revelation 21, we see this picture of eternal everlasting life. And it's one that gives us great promise, not just for one day, but for today. So let's stand and read this together. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. As we conclude these verses, we'll say the phrase, the very words together. We do that, if you're new, as a way to distinguish my words from God's words and his words from mine. So let's read this together. I'll read this to us. Revelation 21, starting in verse 1, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So what hope? What does the hope of eternal life bring to us? First one is this, it brings to us promise. It brings to us an incredible promise. One that we see through the very words of Jesus. John 3:16, those are the words of Jesus when he said that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal or everlasting life. It's this idea of not perishing, this what we talked about last week, this spiritual death, separation from God both now and for all eternity. But if we believe in Jesus, we don't have to suffer that spiritual death and separation. We can experience a spiritual life, life together with God forever, both here and for all eternity. And Jesus is preparing that for us. He is in motion of getting that ready for all of those who would believe in him. Look what he says in John 14, 1 through 3. He's talking to his disciples and he's telling them this about their questions and uncertainty about what's gonna happen as he predicts his death and all these things. He's saying, listen, this is all gonna happen. And they're confused and they're wondering and they're asking, well, where are you gonna go? Can we go with you? And all this stuff. And here's what he says to them. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to make ready so that all those who believe in me will spend eternity with me, that will live in an everlasting life with me. And in Revelation 21, John describes what that life will look like. He gives us a picture of eternity with Jesus. He shares three things. You want to write these down. First is this, is we see in Revelation 21:1 that all things are made new. John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So all things are being made new. That there's a renovation, there is a restoration of all things that will happen, and it's what's going on now. That's why our vision is to saturate the 4B area with the gospel by renovating people, families, and churches. We're part of renovating, restoring what God is in the process of restoring. And that one day everything will be made new. It will be complete. It will be perfect, including all of those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. John says, we're going to live in a place where everything has been made new. There's a new heaven and a new earth, and everything that was has passed away. Second thing we see is that we will be with God forever. We'll be with God forever. Look at verse 2 and 3. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. That everlasting eternal life is a physical life, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem where God will dwell physically with his people. You know, right now as followers of Jesus, we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But this is an even greater reality. That one day we will be with God in fullness. We'll be with God. As Adam and Eve were created and God walked with them in the garden in a very personal and intimate way, that will come to a full reality whenever we become made new in this new heaven and new earth. And because all things are made new and God's with us forever, third thing we see is this, is that sin and brokenness are no more. That sin and brokenness are no more. Revelation 21, verse 4, John writes, he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. The New City Catechism says it this way, that it's a place where we will be fully and forever freed from all sin. See, sin is at the core of the brokenness of our world. Sin is at the core of the brokenness of our heart. That when Adam and Eve chose sin back in the garden, everything became fractured. Everything became broken. Mankind's relationship with God became broken. Mankind's relationship with one another and this interpersonal relationship became broken. Man's relationship with himself became broken as shame and guilt became a part of that. Even creation itself and the relationship of mankind and God's creation, it all became broken as a result of sin. The struggles that we face, the sorrows that we encounter, the loss that we feel, it's all the result of sin. But one day, when all things are made new, when we dwell with God forever, the promise is all of that will be no more. The loss that you feel, you'll no longer feel. The sickness that you struggle with, you'll no longer struggle with. The pain and the tears that you find yourself facing will no longer be a reality. The sin that you're constantly tempted with and you fight against every single day, that fight will be no more. What hope does eternal life hold for us? An incredible promise that all things will be made new, that we'll be with God forever, and all the sin and brokenness in this world that we face will be gone forever. And that promise is not just one day. That promise should change today. And one of the ways it changes today is the second thing we're going to look at is that eternal life and that hope not only gives us a promise, but it gives us a new perspective. It gives us a new perspective, right? Well, what's perspective? Perspective is how we look at life. Perspective is the lens at which I see my life, what happens in my life, and how I respond to those things in my life. New City Catechism says this, that one of the things that this hope of eternal life gives to us is this perspective, and it reminds us that this present fallen world is not all there is. It's so easy to get so caught up in life. I do this all the time, right? It's so easy to get so caught up in all the struggles that we kind of forget that everything's not like this, that this is not all there is, right? That our struggle, that our sickness, that our broken relationship, that our temptation, that we get so caught up in, this is what we're facing. It's hard to keep the perspective that this is not all there is, that it's not always gonna be like this, that tomorrow is not necessarily gonna be exactly the same as today. Because soon, the Catechism says, we will live with and enjoy God forever in a new city. It gives us a brand new perspective. Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. He says this, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul says, because of eternal life, because of the promise of everlasting life, we can live with a new perspective. It's a perspective that says two things. Number one is it recognizes that our present sufferings are temporary. That our present sufferings are temporary. That one day, whatever you're going through, you will no longer go through because you're a follower of Christ. That the storm you're going through today isn't always gonna be the storm that you're gonna face. That what we're facing, the struggles and the sorrow of this world will one day come to an end. But it also reminds us of this, that while our present sufferings are temporary, our future blessings are eternal. That what we're facing in a broken world is temporary, but the promises and the future blessings of God are eternal. I heard a pastor tell a story one time. He was a sailor and he was sailing his boat on one of the Great Lakes. Can't remember which one it was. And he talked about how the storms would come up and pretty violent storms on the lake. And so this one time he was out and he was sailing his boat and a storm came up and it was a pretty horrific storm. He felt really unprepared for how to handle that, and he found himself in the midst of this storm, and he felt like the storm was never going to end. He said everywhere he looked, all he could see were clouds and rain and lightning and thunder and wind, and he was completely surrounded by that storm, and he wasn't sure how long the storm was going to last or if it was ever going to go away. But then eventually the storm subsided. It blew past, and as he went back and looked at the radar from that day, he recognized something that he felt like was so significant, that in the midst of the storm seemed so big. But when you pulled back the radar from a different perspective, the storm didn't seem as terrifying. And the storm had an end, and it had a beginning. And the point he was trying to make was, listen, we get so caught up in, and sometimes rightly so, because we find ourselves in a difficult, difficult storm, that it seems like that storm is never going to end, that we're never going to get feeling better. We're never going to not be sad and sorrowful about the person that we lost. That this job search because we lost ours is never going to end. We get wrapped up in this storm and we can't see the end. But God always has a different perspective. In the midst of the storm, the hope and joy we can find is when we pull back and recognize that the storm is temporary, but God's promises are eternal. Now, here's what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you should feel guilty for struggling in a storm. I think sometimes when we talk about the hope of God, what happens is that the enemy wants us to feel shame because the storm that we're going through is really knocking us for a loop. And it's kind of like we say these things like, hey, circumstances are temporary, the blessings of God are eternal, and it's like that should change everything just like that, right? But you're still sick. That relationship's still a struggle. See, in the midst of that, the hope of God doesn't always change our circumstances, but that different perspective can remind us of God's promises in the midst of the storm. See, because God not only tells us that the storm is temporary, the blessings are eternal, but in the midst of the storm is where God is with us. He doesn't wait for the storm to subside before he steps in to be with you and me. He meets us in the storm. Psalm 23 verse 4 says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, why would they fear no evil? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, God meets us in the midst of our storm. And that perspective can help remind us that that storm is temporary. The blessings are eternal, and God is always with us. Another psalm says that God is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. That perspective can bring us new hope for today as we walk through difficult and challenging times. Third thing we see is this, is not only the hope of eternal life brings us promise and perspective, but it also brings us power. It also brings us power. There's nothing worse in life for me than feeling powerless. Feeling like the circumstances that I'm in, I can't do anything about. And I think every parent has experienced that. You know, as a brand new parent, the first time your kid gets sick, and not like they have a runny nose, but that time, like, they're sick. You know what I mean? They feel bad. They don't look good. You know, you can just tell they're crying. They're hot. They're sore. They're aching. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor's like, it's a virus. What does that mean? It has to run its course. What can we do? Nothing. And having to sit back and watch the one you care about go through that difficult time knowing that I can't do anything about this. I can give some Tylenol, right? But sometimes in life when we experience those storms and those struggles, it makes us feel powerless because we feel like we can't do anything about it. And when we feel powerless, oftentimes that brings great discouragement to us. We see the promise of eternal life, the hope of eternal life, having the perspective that our present circumstances and sufferings are temporary, but God's blessings and his promises are eternal. It gives us power because in the midst of our being powerless over certain things, we can always remember that there is one who has power over all things. See, Jesus said this in John 16:33. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Well, why would we need peace? Well, in the world, he says, you will have tribulation. So Jesus is saying, listen, you're gonna have difficulty. And for some, maybe this needs to make you feel a little bit better because somebody told you that everything wrong in your life is because you did something wrong. Now, sometimes that's true. Sometimes our circumstances and our difficulties are because we were being a difficult person, right? We did this, here's a consequence. But sometimes the things that come to us aren't because we're a bad person. It's because of a broken world. Jesus said to his disciples who weren't perfect, but I mean, they were his disciples, right? He said, you know what? Life's not always gonna be easy for you. He said, but I want you to take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, listen, that when you don't feel you have power, I always have power. That there's nothing that I have not overcome. That there's nothing that we can face that as followers of Jesus, Jesus has not already defeated and already provided a way to overcome. If that sickness takes our life, we have overcome because we have eternity with him. Right? But because Jesus has overcome, because Jesus has victory over those things, because we are his, we also have overcome. We also have that power. Look at what Romans says, or Paul says in Romans, in chapter 8, verse 31, 34, 37 and 39, kind of you take this whole passage, you put it together, it says this, that what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Look at verse 37. It says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul's saying, because Jesus has overcome the world, we too have overcome the world. Because Jesus is victorious over the brokenness of the world, we too are victorious over the brokenness of our world. He says in verse 38, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've overcome because nothing can take us away from Jesus. Nothing can remove the promises and eternal blessings that eternal life present to us. Nothing can take that away. And because Jesus has overcome, we can be more than conquerors to any and every situation. It doesn't mean that situation and circumstance is gonna change like that. It doesn't mean we're always gonna be healed miraculously. It doesn't mean that we're never gonna suffer, we're never gonna struggle. It doesn't mean any of that. What it means is that in those, we are not defeated, we are victorious. And we're victorious because we serve the one who has overcome everything. And that gives us a power. It gives us a power to say, I don't have to be a victim in this. I don't have to be discouraged in this. I don't have to be overcome and overwhelmed in this. Because of Jesus, he will meet me where I am. He will give me the promise of eternal life that gives me a new perspective, and that will empower me to live differently in the midst of my circumstances. See, we're more than conquerors. At the very least and the very most, God will allow something to take our life and then we will transition to eternity with him. And no longer will that present suffering be temporary. It's over. In fact, he's actually made it over faster. And he's brought us into eternity and all the blessings and promises that come with that. So we don't have to respond to the difficulties in life like those who don't have hope. Paul says it this way, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are falling asleep. So Paul's talking specifically to those who are struggling because they've lost a loved one. Someone has died that they know. They've passed away. They're wrestling through that. And Paul is saying, listen, I want to remind you that we don't have to respond like everybody else. Here's what he says. He says that you may not grieve as those others who do not have hope. He says, listen, because of the promises of God, the new perspective we can have, the power for that means is that when we grieve, we don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. Here's what Paul doesn't say. Paul doesn't say, don't grieve. We need to grieve. When Jesus came to the grave of his friend Lazarus, it says that Jesus wept. Why? Because grief and suffering and feeling loss is part of life. And it's okay. But Paul says, we don't have to grieve like those who have no hope. See, we can respond to brokenness and loss differently. And that gives us power over the circumstances in our life. And we can do that because of verse 14. He says, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, those through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. It says, be encouraged because the promises of God are true. The perspective that brings to us can change us in the midst of circumstances, and it can give us power to live in victorious ways and overcome the difficulties in life. And here's the fourth thing that I believe that the promise of eternal life and the hope of eternal life can give to us, and it's this. It can give us a new purpose. It can give us a new purpose. If you've been around our church for a while, you know that you've heard me say this because I believe it's a core thing for all of us is that no matter who you are, one of the things that you're striving for is you're striving to live a life of purpose. You want to live a life of meaning. You want to know that your life has a purpose, that there's some point to all the things that you're going through, right? And see, eternal life and the promise of that, the perspective that it brings and the power that it brings to us, it also reveals to us and reminds us of the greatest purpose that we've been created to live for. John says it this way in John 17:3. He says, and this is eternal life. He defines this idea. What is eternal life? He says it's this, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That the purpose of eternal life, and eternal life in and of itself, is not about a location, it's about a relationship. That our purpose is to know God more in everything that we're going through. To know God in Jesus Christ, to grow in our faith, to love him. That is the ultimate purpose in life, to put him first in front of all things. That listen, we've not just been saved from something, we've been saved for something. That putting your faith and trust in Jesus is not then to live a life that just holds on as close as you can and tries to just not do as little as bad as you can and then one day get to go to heaven. Yes, you get to go to heaven, but you've also been created for a purpose here and now. And that purpose is to know Jesus Christ, to live in a relationship with him and God the Father. To allow everything that we come through to see the purpose in that of God is wanting me to know him more. And sometimes God, we get to know God more through difficult times than we do through easy times. There's a purpose in it all, even when we can't fully understand it. That purpose is that we can know him, that we can know him. But it also gives us something to do. Because it's not just about knowing him and loving him. Because when we know him and we love him, we want to do the things that matter the most to him. That in a broken and fallen world, we're not just to wait for heaven one day. We're supposed to live as citizens of heaven today. What that means is that we bring heaven to earth everywhere we go and in every relationship and every encounter that we have because as followers of Jesus, we are called to bring heaven to this earth. That what we'll experience in fullness one day, we can begin to bring and experience today. Jesus prayed for this. When the disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. And he gave us the model of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus prayed a very specific thing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Here's what he said. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, Jesus knew the purpose of his life was to make heaven a reality for the world. He did that ultimately by sacrificing his life on a cross, dying a death that paid the penalty for our sins. And God raised him from the grave and he defeated that sin and death. But everything that he did, he was bringing what is to come one day in perfection to a broken world today. He healed people. He loved people. He taught people truth. He gave people dignity and acceptance who didn't have dignity and acceptance in their culture. Everywhere he walked in the kingdom of heaven. And he said, here's how you're supposed to pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as is in heaven. See, part of our purpose is to understand what we'll experience one day and to begin to live that out today. See, part of saturating the 4B area with the gospel is that we make the 4B area more like heaven. That's what we're called to do. And we're called to do that in the midst of brokenness, both that we experience and that others experience. See, what hope does eternal life hold for us? Well, it holds for us an incredible promise. It's a promise that can give us a new perspective of how we live and how we respond, knowing that our present sufferings are temporary, but our future blessings eternal. It can give us power over the things in our life that we can live as victorious and hopeful people regardless of what we go through, and it gives us a purpose to know God, define him in everything, and in everything that we go through and everywhere we go to bring heaven and his kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. So here's a question I want to leave you with today. All right, two takeaways. First one is this. Is do you have the hope of everlasting life? The question was, what hope does everlasting life bring to us? Well, if you're not on the trajectory of having everlasting life, then there's no hope to be found. Does that make sense? But what hope are you going for? Do you have the hope of eternal life? Have you put your faith and your trust in Jesus? Have you done and made the decision that was represented in baptism here today, where you've confessed your sin, you've acknowledged your brokenness, you've asked Jesus to forgive all of that, to be the Lord of your life. You've confessed him, you believed in him. If you've done that, you have the hope of eternal life. But do you have that hope today? The second is this. Is your life being shaped more by your present circumstances or your future promises? If you have the hope of eternal life, is your life being shaped more by your present circumstances than your future promises? Does the hope of eternal life, is it making a difference in you today? Are you shaped more by the things that happen to you or the promise of one day what is to come? Joy and peace is found in not the circumstances of today, but it's found in the hope of Jesus that is to come. And that's what we celebrate during this Christmas season.